network at ParanormalKing.com.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of February 25th, 2020. And this is episode 426. And this is your host, as always, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And we are live on the Paranormal King radio network at ParanormalKing.com. So, busy day today. If you've been out and about today, Fat Tuesday, so hopefully you all had some donuts today. I know I had didn't have those nice, big, heavy, powdery, fruit-filled ones that you're supposed to have that nobody can pronounce. But I did partake in some deliciousness today. And, of course, tomorrow, Ash Wednesday. And also tonight, right now, I appreciate you if you're listening to this show live. Well, I appreciate you if you're not listening to the show live, but I appreciate you more. I guess if you are listening live or you're in the chat room tonight, I especially welcome you guys, gals, whoever you are, whatever you identify. I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me. All right, I'm spiraling out of control here. Well, anyway, back to my welcoming people. So everyone who doesn't want to watch the Democratic presidential primary, I appreciate you being here in the house and listening to the show live tonight. Well, if that's what you're doing instead and you're listening to the show later, I still appreciate you, just not as much. Forgot to post a link today. I was going to post it. I was on Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio last week. Was it last week? Yeah, last week. Pretty much I was recorded the night before I did this show last week, and then the show itself, Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio, had me on right after my show was over. So it was pretty cool. Like, I did back-to-back shows. And the podcast is available now, so you can go to Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio. You can look that up. You can Google that and listen to that episode. Or if you just want to hear what I call my monologue, I actually created a blog for that. So you can go to paranewsinsider.com. Click on the blog link there at the top, and that'll take you to the blog page. Of course it will, because that's what the link is for. It doesn't take you to a YouTube video where you get Rickrolled or anything. I promise, unless somebody hacked my site again. But, yes, you can read my monologue. Now, it doesn't include all the questions and answers that came after the monologue. Some very good questions. And He also does a Dogman show as well as the Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio. Now, I don't know the format to that. I do like his Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio format, where he has somebody come on the first half of the show. They talk about their individual sighting. They kind of almost do a storytelling kind of thing. And then spend the second half of the show talking about the subject matter itself, answering some questions about the whole subject matter. I'm not sure about the Dogman format, but yeah, Dogman is a pretty interesting thing. It's been very popular the last few years, so he does both shows, but very happy to have been on that show. And instead, not actually had my own encounter, believe it or not, but I did spend the first, I don't know, like half hour or something, talking about Grassman, so the Ohio Grassman, and how it differs from Bigfoot, because there is a little bit of a difference. And I think sometimes people get a little confused about all these names. There's hundreds of names for large bipedal creatures all over the world. And so I kind of talked about that a little bit. So if you're interested in the Grassman and Bigfoot and all those big hairy stuff, well, you missed out. But you can still read the blog, and you can also listen to the archive of the Bigfoot Eyewitness Radio show, and he still does it every Tuesday, so you can hear that on Tuesdays. So, yes, tonight, what do we have tonight? Well, we're going to talk about alligators. I know you guys are like, oh my gosh, alligators. We talked about alligators all last year. Well, we got a sighting already. We're going to talk about ghost hunters. We're going to talk about Mad Mike Hughes. I'm sure you've seen that. It's the biggest paranormal story right now is Mad Mike Hughes. And we'll kind of dig into some information about that. It's not as what it seems. There's a little bit of conspiracy theories to his actual death here. So tune in for that one. And we're finally going to talk about it. Yes, the biggest story in the world is finally spreading to the paranormal. Nothing we could do about it. It's here. It's infected the paranormal, and we're going to talk about the coronavirus and how it's affecting the paranormal. It's arrived. Nothing we could do. It's here. So, yeah, we'll talk about that, but a really good question here in the chat room, keeping the show flowing. Project Blue Book. So, yeah, I did catch up on that. I did watch The Men in Black. How did you guys think about that? What did you guys think about the Project Blue Book latest episode? How do you think about the second season here, this latest season? I mean, personally, I don't know. It's the Men in Black thing was a little ridiculous. I think it was a little over the top, my opinion, having him jump into that. I don't want to ruin it if you haven't seen it, but it was just kind of, a little far-fetched for me to have Alan Hynek appearing as a Men in Black. I don't know. It's a little too fictitious, a little too over the top. But part of me says that's great because I don't want people thinking that show is actually completely believable. But it is entertaining. That's what it's for. It's on TV. It's unfortunate, though, that it's under the banner of the History Channel and that they do precede the show with saying that it's based on real events. It's very loosely based on real events. It's actually based on really the speculation and opinions of a lot of independent people. That's what it should read. So it's a patchwork of things. Even the history is wrong. The timing of some of these things is way off. A lot of the statements and information is wrong. They've basically invented people and created different characters that they've thrown into the show. And it's just a very big patchwork of craziness. But it's still entertaining. So it is Hollywood. Yes, it is Hollywood stuff. But if you're just watching it for the pure entertainment of having a nice UFO conspiracy theory government-centric show on the air, have at it. I enjoy that part of it. I like the even the little espionage that's going on there on the side, and I don't know. To me, it's entertaining, and I keep watching it week after week. And even though it gets ridiculous, I enjoyed the Hopkinsville episode, and I mean, really, everything I've seen this year has been pretty good. It's really getting more and more outlandish. A lot of people are getting really, really upset about it. They're getting mad about the outlandishness of this show. But if you haven't seen it, it's on the History Channel. I believe it's on, I think it's on tonight, I think. I don't remember. But I always watch it on the History Channel app so I can watch it whenever I want at my leisure. And yes, I was just thinking the same thing. Saw it pop up in the chat room. The X-Files, we definitely need it back. Although, I'll tell you what, I mean, as much as I love Fox Mulder, man, it hurts my heart to watch him hobble around as an old man on TV. David Duchovny's had better days. I was really hoping that they would continue on with some of the new characters that they introduced, but unfortunately, it seems like it's come to an end. But hopefully, you know, that's what we need right now. We do need a show like The X-Files to kind of steer us out of this mess that we're in. I mean, UFOs are a trendy topic now. It's no more of a laughing matter. It's in the news all the time. So why not? Let's bring it back. That's what I say, too. So what else is happening in the world of the paranormal? Let's have some anomalous notes here. So I did talk about my appearances last week and what I've done with the blog. Yes, I've actually updated my blog, believe it or not. And I've also spent a little bit of time updating the events listing for 2020. And you can find that at paranewsinsider.com and click on the events tab at the top. So I have various paranormal conferences, conventions. I have UFO cryptid ones. It's all separated into the subject matter in which a majority of that conference has. So that doesn't mean that it's only on one subject or the other. Granted, most of the UFO stuff is pretty much on UFOs. Most of the cryptid stuff is pretty much mostly on cryptid stuff. But you will find the occasional UFO or cryptid or ghost speaker at those events, as well as the ghost-based events, which most of the events are ghost-based. A lot of those also will have a cryptid speaker and or a UFO speaker. So I encourage you, click on these links, see what's local to you, what's fairly close to you, or what interests you, and who's speaking where. So, you know, maybe you have a certain person that you'd like to meet or hear what they have to say about their subject matter. These are great opportunities to go out and meet and greet and get your boots on the ground and talk to these people that are out in the field day in, day out. Well, maybe not, maybe only on the weekends. I don't know what they do. I don't know who they are. But either way, it's still a great way to meet fellow people who are into the subject matters that you have an interest in. So as always, if you know of any paranormal conference or convention that I've not had on my list as of yet, let me know. You can email me, oldschool@insider@paranewsinsider.com. Send me a passenger pigeon. Contact me through paranewsinsider.com. I have a little contact page that you can do. No, don't send me a passenger pigeon. My window is closed. It's cold outside. It's raining. It's going to be snowing. So the window's closed. Yeah. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter. No reason that you can't get a hold of me for that. And I have added a few here. Let's see. My latest events, the Blue Ridge Bigfoot Conference takes place February 29th. That's coming up this weekend. Get your tickets, kids. And that's going to be at the McDowell Technical Community College in Marion, North Carolina. Also, the Minnesota Bigfoot Conference will take place May 22nd through the 24th in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. So you thought I was going to say Michigan, but no, Grand Rapids, Minnesota. And the Edinburgh UFO Festival 2020 takes place April 2nd through the 4th in Edinburgh, Texas. And now that last one I've not yet put on the calendar. Sorry, my favorite Texans. I'll get that on that list tonight as I'm updating the show. So I'll have that one on there for you. And again, as always, paranewsinsider.com. Click on the events tab there at the top. It's right next to the home tab. And also I have this weekend, the Rochester Winter Parafest 2020, February 29th through March 1st. It's got to be March already. Good grief, on Sunday. Wow. Well, we get an extra day of February, so I can't complain, I guess. Yeah, February 29th through March 1st, Rochester, New York. And I did mention the Blue Ridge. So yeah, that's all I've got this weekend, and that's it for February already. Jeez, really marching along. Speaking of marching, March does have a whole list of events, but I'm not going to read them all off to you tonight. But yeah, check it out. I mean, it's starting to get into that silly season. We kind of hit the end of March there, and that's when a lot of these things are taking place. So if you're going to take vacation, you probably want to take it in April to go to one of these paranormal conferences or conventions. Or if you don't need a vacation, you can just take the weekend or whatever you want to do. It's up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I do recommend getting out there and going to one of these events. So before we hit the news, I have another question in the chat room. Have I added any poll questions on the website? It's weird that you asked me that because I was just thinking about that about an hour ago. I was thinking about that because going through my notes. I was like, man, I haven't written a poll in a while. So no, no new poll. But if anybody has any thoughts about a question, throw it in the chat room and I'll get it put up tonight. And I've been thinking of a few questions about the paranormal. Paranormal is getting kind of slow right now. So we're going to find out tonight. But do have plenty of informative stories. Not a whole lot of stories. So tonight is kind of quality over quantity. If there's such a thing, I know a lot of people like to hear little snippets of a lot of different stories. I don't roll like that. I like to really dig deep into some of these stories. Yeah, it's a little thin right now. I don't know if it's the weather, the time of the year, what it is. But some years, January, February is crazy. other years, you're reaching for anything at this point. And this year, I think between politics and the coronavirus, and I mean, there's always a scare, as we're going to talk about later on. But I don't know what it is. But I'm telling you, all we need is a couple of big stories, and the paranormal will get out of control. So poll questions, yeah, I do have some ideas. Maybe I'll get around to it tonight. We'll launch some paranormal poll questions for you guys, because I haven't done that since the top 10 last year. Jeez, better get it together. Well, I finally did my blog, so I updated that at least. Anyway, cryptid news tonight. So if you've heard the Paranormal News Insider last year at all, you more than likely heard me talking about the mysterious rash of sightings of alligators in the waters of the northeastern United States. It seemed like it was happening everywhere. So we had a bunch of sightings in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as well as the famed Chicago alligator, also known as Chance the Snapper. You know, like Chance the Rapper. Anyway, he headlined the sightings with a flurry of other sightings from multiple states, including my home state of Ohio. We had one. It was a crocodile, I think. But a lot of alligators all over the place for whatever reason. People tossing them out because they don't want them anymore. They get too big, too scary. People buy them in the little zoos or the little animal shows or whatever. And man, if you can't take care of it, don't buy it. Tell your kid no. Go buy them a plastic one at Walmart. Whatever you got to do. Well, it didn't take long for this year's first alligator sighting, and I was waiting for this. Didn't expect it to happen in late February, and it happened in Michigan. So Muskegon Community College in Michigan. This was a location of a purported alligator in the water in a creek on campus. So people were freaking out about this. Of course, locally, social media was a big flurry of this. There's an alligator. So officials were able to remove the alligator from the water just to find out that it was a fake alligator head. So it was the kind that is designed to float in pools, you know, or as a decoration, probably to scare away geese and things like that. So a prank. I mean, imagine that. Kids pranking or doing silly, crazy things. I'm sure they're not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. I'm sure a decoration like that would cost a little bit of money. But nonetheless, I'll post a picture of that in the chat room so you can see that. It's an interesting little, that's a pretty decent sized head. I mean, it would probably be, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 foot long alligator if it were real. And I'm not sure if it's working or not. It's not showing me here. But anyway, yeah, a little alligator head in the water. And got a lot of attention from the campus. And so far from what I've heard, the culprit could not have been, has not been found. So nobody has figured out who did this yet. And who cares? Nobody got hurt. Nothing got broken. Nothing caught on fire. So, yeah, probably not a big deal. And nobody was hurt in that prank. But, yeah, our first alligator sighting of the year goes to Michigan. Granted, it's not a real alligator, so I'm not going to be like the guys and for the Loch Ness Monster, put that as an official sighting or anything. It's fake. So, and believe it or not, this week I have no UFO news. It's kind of snaps a streak of I don't know how many weeks of UFO news each and every week, but we should have some. I'm hoping UFO news next week. So it only took like 5 minutes, but in the chat room now you can see the little alligator, little fake head, floating head. I guess it's not one for a pool. It's probably just one of those decorations that you put like in the snow or something, or on the ground in the dirt. So it looks like an alligator. You probably have those little other pieces that look like the back sticking out. That kind of looks like what it looks like, but look pretty real from a distance. I guess people were kind of a little concerned about those. And there's three pictures there of that alligator. Pretty scary. Anyway, let's jump to ghost news. We never get enough ghost news, and you might have heard here on the show, I'm not really a big fan of ghost hunting television shows for my own reasons, especially Ghost Hunters, that show. Even though that show debuted, was it back in 2008? So that show did bring a lot of people into the paranormal. It got a lot of attention for the field and really helped expand the amount of people. Again, I don't know about quality over quantity anymore, but I brought a lot of people to the field. But as you many of you know, the television show Ghost Hunters came back to television last year after a few years of a hiatus. And it came back to the A&E network instead of the Sci-Fi channel where it debuted. I did talk about the show before it came out. And I actually did I had a sneak preview of the show before it made its debut, and I was actually kind of mildly impressed by it. You know, I wasn't overly impressed, but I did enjoy it. I did think it was okay. I felt as though it was making a lot of the same mistakes that it and other shows have made in the past about jumping to conclusions and just really acting silly. But these shows are always seemingly getting bigger and bolder. And the new season 2 of the rebranded Ghost Hunters sounds like it might jump the shark. And that goes to the happy days. If you don't know about what Jump the Shark is, that's when the Fonzarelli jumped a shark. Was it on live TV? And ever since that episode, Happy Days could never regain the amount of viewership that it had for that episode. And that's where the term jump the shark comes from. So when you jump the shark, you basically broke your TV show. It's never going to get as popular. But sounds like they're going to get a lot of attention for this season. The press release they sent out, with the preview. I actually didn't watch the preview, I'll admit it. The press release sent out for the new season says, quote, Ghost Hunters returns with indisputable evidence of life after death, unquote. Indisputable evidence of life after death. The release also states that they, quote, they capture their most compelling persuasive evidence in over a decade, unquote. Well, I don't know about you, but that second part is kind of a letdown. I mean, I've not seen much that's compelling coming from the show in the last decade or longer, for that matter, because what it's been on the airwaves, show's been on since 2008, so yeah, it's more than a decade. But anyway, I've not seen anything compelling. I mean, unless you're talking about fishing line, pulling people's jackets and fake things that they fall for, like somebody leaning up against the wall and then using a thermal detector to say, oh my gosh, there's a ghost on the wall. Well, yeah, it's a ghost heat. Anyway, so yeah, it's a pretty big claim there that they have indisputable evidence. I mean, more than likely, probably just going to be some random EVPs that they have to put words up on the screen for anyone to be able to interpret. Or possibly someone freaking out over seeing something in the dark. I don't think Ghost Hunters has done that. That's more of a Ghost Adventures type of thing. And yes, I'm not a big fan of Zach, regardless of his muscles and his tight shirt and his cool hairdo and all the things that he buys with all of his money. Still, the claim is indisputable. So that word, indisputable, other words, unquestionable, or basically not disputable. You can't dispute it. That's a pretty bold claim. I mean, this sounds like proof. Proof to me. But has their evidence been confirmed by other sources so that it can't be disputed? I mean, how far do they go with this stuff? I mean, probably not. We'll see. Let's not get carried away until we actually see what happens. They'll probably just keep baiting us from episode to episode until the season's over. And leave on a cliffhanger and then just say, wait for season 3. So yeah, I'm not a huge fan of these things. I think it's very misleading. And I don't think that paranormal TV shows, especially ghost hunting shows, really demonstrate what really happens at any kind of real investigation. It's kind of a mock investigation, or kind of, I don't know, never really did things that way until these shows came out. Now it seems like everybody does exactly what's seen on TV, or worse yet, clients expect us to do it that way. And that's really when I got out doing it, because the clients get mad when I actually do it the way that it should be done. And they say, no, that's not how they do it on TV. Ouch. But yeah, it's kind of ruined everything a little bit. But yeah, the show is, I mean, it's showing some life and some followers to the show. And it could be worse, I suppose. At least there is a little bit of skepticism in this show. So I can't completely throw it under the bus. And I didn't really watch too much of season one, but I just want to find out what this indisputable evidence is. How, what did they actually gather that's such a big deal that never leaked out so far about this? I'd like to know. So I'd like to see it. New episodes will appear on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, with a two-hour debut episode appearing on Wednesday, April 8th, at a special time of 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. I guess it's 9 p.m. for the regular episodes, 8 p.m. for the special edition. So, yeah, we'll see. We shall see. And other news. So we do have some sad news this week, and you probably heard this. This really kind of really was scattered all over the place. Wow. Saw Freudian slip there, but really all over the internet. Saturday, a lot of stuff on Sunday as well about Mad Mike Hughes. So this weekend, should be a shock to anybody. I mean, you know, I've been talking about this guy for quite a while, a few years now on the show, and in all honesty, a lot of us saw this coming. We knew this was going to happen. And Mad Mike Hughes, who is a flat earth believer, this guy, what he does is he puts himself in a homemade steam-powered rocket, and he launches himself off the back of a trailer. He goes up into the sky, and he's a daredevil. And a lot of people are claiming that he fires himself up there to see the curve of the earth, which is, he only goes about 2,000 feet up, which is really not high enough. At all. 2,000 feet. Plenty of hills that you can climb that are taller than that. That you can get a better view of things. But anyway. Yes, he over the weekend, he died from injuries resulting from a crash and using his steam-powered jet. The crash occurred in the desert near Barstow, California, about a two-hour drive northeast from Los Angeles. So the 64-year-old was filming an episode of a new television series called Homemade Astronauts, which he was the star for the Science Channel, when the accident occurred. Hughes was attempting to get his rocket to 5,000 feet, but it only managed to get just shy of 2,000 feet, which is pretty much the same height he generally gets to anyway. I believe it was 1,875 feet was the thought there. So what happened? Well, Mike's parachute seemed to deploy just after takeoff and seemingly got caught on the edge of that launch platform, pulled that parachute out, and the premature parachute launch with that parachute hitting that steam, the steam just shredded that parachute, and you could see the parachute fluttering to the ground as the rocket continued to gain elevation. The parachute, a premature launch, actually kind of pulled the rocket a little off of course. It's actual course, so I'm sure he felt that when the rocket launched. He probably knew something was going on. So the rocket kind of went on a curved course. And, of course, without the parachute, the craft just plummeted straight down to the desert floor after reaching its apex, continuously gaining speed until, unfortunately, impacted the desert floor. And it was kind of horrific to hear, the more so to not just see what was happening, but to hear the people, the onlookers, who were horrified, knowing in all likelihood that they just watched a man die. Justin Chapman, a journalist who was on the scene, published the launch via Twitter, with a 48 second clip on February 22nd stating, quote, Mad Mike Hughes just launched himself in a self-made steam-powered rocket and crash-landed. Very likely did not survive, unquote. So, yeah, watching the video, it's pretty horrific. I mean, you see it just like all of his other launches. The rocket goes up, the rocket comes down, but this time no parachute. And just watching that parachute disintegrate in the steam and knowing he's on, you know, a one-way launch to death is just horrific to think about. And again, hearing the onlookers screaming, no, no, no. And, you know, there's no one can control it. The rocket just slammed into the earth several hundred yards away. You know, no one else on the ground was in danger of this, but still a horrific scene. Hughes's rocket, it was self-made. So he states he builds them by trial and error, which, again, no shock, no surprise from a lot of people who have heard of this guy and have seen his rocket launches in the past, that the way he goes about building these things and tests them, you know, he got hurt numerous times, several crashes over the years, one less than 2 years ago that caused him some severe back issues during a hard landing, even with a parachute. So his rockets were launched from the back of a truck trailer. So this truck trailer kind of tilts the rocket up at an angle, kind of like a rocket launcher, giant rocket launcher, like a ICBM kind of thing. You've probably seen the videos of like the Russians, and they had Spies Like Us had a similar thing to that. I just pulled out a Spies Like Us thing. Anyway, Chapman also commented that he thought the parachute might have been accidentally launched due to the rocket rubbing the launch apparatus, so meaning the trailer. So he felt that when the rocket initially launched, somehow, some way, I got caught on there and pulled one of the parachutes. But what's weird about this, and a lot of people are talking about this, so the rocket did have three other parachutes attached to it, but none of them launched. There's been no word on why they were not activated, or if they could have been activated by Hughes, or what exactly went wrong with the rest of it. San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department confirmed on scene that a man was pronounced dead after a rocket crashed in the open desert. Waldo Stakes, who is a collaborator with Hughes with the rocket, confirmed at the scene that Mad Mike Hughes did, in fact, die in the rocket. So let's clear up some things here. A lot of people are, as crazy as the guy was and his belief systems and all those things, you never wish or never hope or never laugh at somebody else's death. You know, it's sad what happened. I mean, some people are kind of going in the other direction saying he's a hero. He died doing what he wanted to do. That's, to me, is just crazy. The guy died either way. You know, somebody should have stopped this. They did stop it before him launching on certain public land or private land. Because knowing that his rockets are dangerous, but somehow, some way, he just launched this, and this is the result. And one of the headlines speculates that the reason for the rocket launches was to prove that the Earth is flat. So Saturday afternoon, once the stories were spreading about his impact in the desert and the death of Mad Mike Hughes, people were already making memes about, you know, various aspects of this. And it was just quite disturbing to think that people just that quick were making fun of this guy for dying. And it just his belief systems and everything, as crazy as it was, again, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So while Hughes has said that this in the past during a 2017 interview, that he was, in fact, launching himself to see the curvature of the Earth or to prove it to himself and the world, during a 2019 interview with Space.com, Mike clarified his statement by saying, quote, this flat Earth has nothing to do with the steam rocket launches. It never did. It never will. I'm a daredevil, unquote. He also added that his biggest intention was to inspire people. And Darren Schuster, a public relations representative for Hughes, told BuzzFeed News on Saturday after the incident, quote, We use flat Earth as a PR stunt, period. Schuster clarified by stating, quote, he was a true daredevil decades before the latest round of rocket missions. Flat Earth allowed us to get so much publicity that we kept going. I know he didn't believe in flat Earth, and it was a shtick, unquote. Well, sadly, we may never know the truth, but Mad Mike Hughes will more than likely go down in history as a flat Earth believer who lost his quest to find the truth. Yeah, and it's just a really, really just sad thing, and it's twisted. And, you know, unfortunately, yes, his beliefs in flat Earth did get him a lot of press, did get him a lot of media attention. But, you know, I always said that there's, if it's true about the flat Earth thing, there's so many other ways to get higher than 2,000 feet or to see things. But I do believe that he was just a daredevil. But unfortunately, you know, like I just said, he's going to go down in history as a flat Earth believer that died in his quest to do that instead of just a daredevil. Like, you know, I grew up with Evel Knievel and his son also doing jumps and things like that. So, you know, the true daredevils of the time are pretty much gone. So we don't have anything. So there's a few guys out there, but very sad about Mad Mike Hughes, and, you know, did poke fun at the guy over the years. And it is sad that he has passed away from injuries due to a launch at age 64. So the last story I have tonight is going to help you sleep tonight, I hope. Well, no, it won't. It's going to scare you, but it's something that we need to talk about. It is something that has been all over the news. Some people are ignoring it. Some people are saying, ah, it won't affect me. Some people are terrified. Some people are terrorized that it's going to happen. And it's going to cause worldwide panic. And just affect the entire world, which it's starting to. And that, of course, is the coronavirus. When it started to break earlier this year, started to spread, yes, of course, the online social media made fun of it, made up memes and laughed about it and thought it was a big joke and poked fun at it. And now you don't see much anymore because I think a lot of people are very pretty much terrified of this. And the reality is setting in that this could be a big thing. But again, a lot of people are also kind of dismissive of the entire thing. So whether you like it, whether you believe in it or don't, the coronavirus is the big topic in the world right now. And reports have surfaced today that the United States can expect to have continued widespread cases despite a lot of people playing down this disease. And a warning today from Dr. Nancy Messonnier, director of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, said about the disease spreading through the United States, quote, it's not so much of a question of if this will happen in the country anymore, but a question of when this will happen, unquote. So she also stated the coronavirus could cause significant disruptions in the daily lives for people in the United States, and a pandemic is quite close to being called for the seemingly out-of-control disease. So not long ago, I think it was last week, and somebody said, asked if the coronavirus could be considered paranormal. And of course, my response was not really, since it's just another disease and it's one that is actually quite common globally. It's just that this is a new strain that is dangerous since there's no known cure. It's still unknown where it came from or if it's going to continue to change or how it's going to be controlled. There's a lot more questions and answers at this point still. And we're probably about a year away from a reliable and tested vaccine. Edward Steele and other scientists submitted a paper earlier this month to The Lancet in regards to how they feel the coronavirus started. So according to Wikipedia, The Lancet is a weekly peer-reviewed general medical journal. It is among the world's oldest, most prestigious, and best-known general medical journals. So Steele et al. Are not interested in monkey brains, not interested in bats, snakes, or other animal-related guesses as to the origin of the coronavirus. And that's despite a majority of virologists pointing a finger in that general direction. No, they don't agree with any of that. They feel that more than likely, in their expert opinion, that an October 11th, 2019 bright fireball over northern China is actually to blame. Yes, a meteorite. Well, actually a meteor, since it did break up in the sky, and it's unknown if any chunks actually made it to the surface. So to, I guess, to kind of explain that. So a meteoroid, these are small rocks that are in space, floating around, usually, you know, around the sun. Meteor is what we see flash in the sky. It's a meteoroid that enters the atmosphere. And again, meteoroids are just small, tiny little rocks, grains of sand even. Nothing really large. Anything large is an asteroid. It's a meteorite. If a meteor actually makes it to the surface, it's a meteor. So I learned by this saying, oid or ite. So a meteoroid is what's in space. A meteor is when it's coming through the atmosphere. And a meteorite is if it actually lands on the surface. So if it makes it to the Earth's surface and we can pick it up, we can put it in a museum, we can put it in our pocket and walk away and make millions of dollars, it's a meteorite. So oid or ite. That's how I learned it. Anyway, lessons behind us. The paper was published in The Lancet back on February 4th. Their hypothesis is that this meteor left small particles of a bacteria that made their way from the mesosphere and stratosphere to the surface after a month to start the outbreak in November of 2019. Their guess is that particles may continue to rain down over the world to continue the outbreak on a global scale. Sounds like a Michael Crichton movie. Actually, it was Michael Crichton movie. The Andromeda Strain is basically kind of what they're talking about here. Of course, the Andromeda Strain was a little bit more scary because it turned metal into dust. That would be really scary. So this isn't a new idea, actually, about outbreaks even. Outbreaks in the past were thought to have been spread in the same manner by meteoroids. Or meteors, I guess. Meteors breaking up in the upper atmosphere, putting this dust with foreign viruses and bacteria on it and distributing it throughout the planet. It's pretty scary stuff. So this is not something that a lot of people believe in. This is only a minority of scientists. Really the same handful of people have been spreading these same kind of thoughts for a number of years. The idea of panspermia, if you've heard of the term, is one that is accepted by scientists, but not for all life on planet Earth. So panspermia, if you're not familiar with it, is essentially the hypothesis that life exists throughout the known universe and that it is distributed by meteoroids, asteroids, comets, and even planets and spacecraft. Kind of our fault there on some of this. It's commonly agreed upon that elements for life certainly are exchanged by rocks hitting each other in space, sometimes depositing themselves on the surface of a planet. But for viruses and bacteria to move through space on their own is very unlikely. To think that a respiratory illness that is similar to existing viruses that are already here on Earth, which would suddenly appear from outer space, that's quite a leap. I mean, things have evolved here on Earth, and it's why we recognize this so quickly, very closely related to what we already have here. So the possibility that it comes from outer space and evolved out there, it was frozen in time and just happened to find our planet of all places, and it looks just like a regular virus. Highly, highly unlikely. It's extremely slim that this would just accidentally hit our atmosphere and accidentally be able to spread to the planet's surface. Yeah, so really, I wouldn't worry about it coming from outer space. It really got not really a whole lot of traction, thank goodness, because there is so much panic about this, and people are really, really honestly worried about this. And some countries are really dealing with, unfortunately, a crisis that they cannot financially handle. This crazy hypothesis probably is not going to really be mentioned by too many people, and hopefully it'll just disappear. But despite this impending doom of the coronavirus, especially what we heard today from experts, other experts are actually hopeful that warmer weather this spring will slow and potentially halt the virus from further spread. But what happens in the next few weeks, that's the important thing. That's where things can go sideways very, very quickly for not only the United States, but other countries throughout the world. Again, some countries really don't have an infrastructure to be able to deal with this, an outbreak such as this. So we are lucky here in the United States, but we have to be smart about things. And we can't just pretend that it's not going to affect us, and we can't pretend that it's just going to go away, or we can just buy a pill, or we can, do something simple and it'll go away. I mean, we would, and on the other hand, we'd think that we would be numb from all of these kind of threats, because you think about it. So we have the coronavirus this year. I don't remember last few years, but I remember 2016, we had the Zika virus scare. 2014, the Ebola virus scare that was finally hit here in the United States, which is really, really scary. And I live in Northeast Ohio, just north of Akron, Ohio. And one of the people that was thought to have Ebola was flew into Cleveland to the same airport that I fly in and out of all the time, and was in the Akron area in places that I had been in. So weird, a little scary. When the stuff hits home, it really hits you really heavy. And I know this is really cryptic to say, cryptic not in cryptozoology, cryptic, I guess, to say, is actually enjoy Ebola. I've read a lot of books on Ebola. I love all the movies on Ebola, just because I have a respect for how dangerous that virus is. But that's the good thing with something like that is, yes, unfortunately, it spreads very easily. But fortunately or unfortunately, how you want to look at it, it kills people very quickly. Sadly, it turns your insides into liquid, and it kills the host rather quickly, which is not a smart thing for a virus, but it's good for containing it. And that's why Ebola is really not one that's going to spread through the world, at least not yet, until we can travel a lot faster than what we can travel now. It eventually will be a threat. But 2014 was a big year for Ebola. But really and truly, it's still going on in Africa. It's still it's not a major outbreak, but it's come and gone quite a bit. 2013, yes, we had the bird flu. 2012, we had the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus outbreak, also known as MERS. 2009, I suppose that would be, the swine flu. And that was a global pandemic. It was everywhere. 2003, SARS. You guys remember that one. 1997, we had the H5N1 avian flu scare. That was a fear one. Some people did die, and not a whole lot of people, but still it killed some people, and it spread. And that's China. People can say what they want about China. China having so many people crammed along their coastlines, that kind of stuff. Things can go sideways real quick. And we've seen that, especially this year with the coronavirus. They killed that year, 1997, they killed at least 1.5 million chickens in China due to that fear of the avian flu. So they did what they had to do, and people were flipping out about it. We come back to 2020 here. Stock markets are sliding. There are talks about replenishment for goods from China affecting the U.S. market very, very soon here in the United States. That's going to cause prices to skyrocket on goods. You're going to have a lot of outages in stores. As far as products that you want, I just tell you right now, if you want a shower curtain, you're going to need a shower curtain in the next 6 months to a year, you better buy a couple because they're going to be out of stock. I'm just telling you. Bed sheets and all those things too. Anything with whatever that word is, but anything with, you know, bedding and housewares type stuff, anything for your bathroom or kitchen, you better buy it now. Because the prices are going to soar and your shelves are going to be empty. Just telling you. Don't want to start a panic. I mean, you know, some southern states get a half inch of snow or a quarter of dusting. And all the bread has gone off the shelves and all the water is gone. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying this is a very real thing here. It's going to have a ripple effect. Whether or not it gets any worse anywhere else. But it will definitely have some sort of effect on things. Let's see, Italy and other countries are dealing with accelerating outbreaks. There's hotels and things that are under quarantine right now. Another scary thing, Iran's deputy health minister was having a briefing on the coronavirus. And you could see in the briefing he was sweating profusely. Well, that day he tested positive for coronavirus. That's pretty scary when your deputy health minister comes down with coronavirus. So Europe is struggling with this, Asia is struggling with this, and the United States, we've been lucky. But Canada, United States, it's coming. It's coming our way. China is showing good news with a large drop in cases reported per day from 2,000 a day about a month ago to a low of only 508 cases on Monday. It still sounds like a lot to me, but that's a pretty big drop from 2000. So, and China's come up with some really interesting prevention methods. They're kind of weird over there anyway with some of their cultural things of how they approach things. We should be, though, but we should be that way here in the United States, I think. But according to the New York Times, the city of Beijing has imposed new rules on workplaces, including one that prohibits workers from eating face-to-face. So if you're going to Chipotle with somebody, you can't hang out and eat face-to-face with people. You got to sit next to them. Now, would we do that here in the United States? Probably not. Probably not. No more than half of the office's employees should be at work on a given day. I'm all for that. I am off. You know what? I'll take the rest of the week off. Wednesday, Thursday, consider me gone. I got PTO. I'll take it off. I don't care. I'm out. They must keep at least 1 meter apart from each other. And each must have at least 2.5 square meters of working space. And elevator capacity cannot exceed 50%, the city said. So some strict things there, and there's, you know, they've been enforcing a lot of different things throughout the cities, which has really caused havoc. And you've seen a lot of the pictures of places just being bare bones, being empty, evacuated. And, you know, I can tell you back in January when I went to Arizona for a week, and coming back from Arizona, flying through Phoenix, you know, nobody was wearing face masks. Nobody really cared. It's just normal. And then I flew into Chicago. I would say about 30 to 40% of the people in Chicago were wearing a mask of some sort. Not everybody was wearing medical masks. Some people were wearing those, I don't know what you call them, like the fake skull things, like a fake skeleton thing. I don't think it was a medical type face mask, but I was really kind of worried to see all these people. And yeah, you occasionally will see certain people wearing these medical masks in public. It's not uncommon. But to see the amount of people I did in Chicago was a little spooky, a little scary. And then flying into Cleveland, again, I saw probably not as high a percentage of people, but probably 10, 15% of people wearing these masks. And it started to hit me then. And, you know, I still worry about it now. I think that we need to brace for it. But again, to really wrap up that story, I don't think we have to worry about interstellar bacteria or viruses coming and making us sick from the skies. Although that would make a very good movie, which it did, The Andromeda Strain, which one of my favorite authors, Michael Crichton. And yeah, you know, I would do, I mean, my gosh, you know, and I'm an avid cruiser as well. I love going on cruises. So all this news about people cruising, this is why you get travel insurance. Just saying, if you're going on a cruise, first cruise I ever went on was in June into the Caribbean. So if you know anything about June in the Caribbean, you have a high likelihood of hurricanes. So I did have insurance on that. So in case there was a hurricane, I could have canceled my cruise and gotten my money back, and I would have been fine. People don't want to do that. You know, sometimes they save up for a whole year. They can't get off of work. I get it. But if you're going to a cruise in China, it costs you a lot of money. It's not cheap. So I'm sure some of those people have some disposable income. So I know this sounds mean, but I didn't have a whole lot of sympathy for the people caught in these cruise ships. But I'll tell you, it is an eye-opener to think about what would have happened if you were over there and you thought, you know what? Maybe this whole coronavirus thing will blow over and it won't be such a big deal. Then you get out there and all of a sudden people on your ship are getting sick left and right. And, you know, it's a nightmare to ever be stranded in a foreign country and have to figure out you're going to get home on limited income or limited money or limited resources, and your travel completely disrupted. I get that. That's really scary. But it's the kind of thing you think about when you do travel around the world. You know, I've been fortunate never to be put in that position, but I have gotten sick on cruises, but nothing major. I've seen people get very sick on cruises. I've heard horror stories that never really went public. That seems nowadays that we hear a lot more about what happens on cruise ships. Thank goodness. Because I'll tell you, 10 years ago, all kinds of stuff happened. You never hear about it. Now, it seems like this stuff is all over the place. But anyway, yes, traveling is going to be interesting this spring and maybe even this summer. So that's all I have for you guys tonight. Big thanks to my producer and everyone else in the chat room and elsewhere for listening to this show. I really do appreciate it. Without you guys, I wouldn't be here behind the mic. Looking forward to next week. We got Super Tuesday here on the show. I don't know what that means, but I got to steal it from the politicians again. I do appreciate you for showing up. If you were, I know everybody really wants to tune into that Democratic presidential primary, but I do appreciate you taking the time tonight to listen to the show. And don't let all the scary stuff, you know, keep you up at night. Nothing you can do about it tonight. You're going to sleep, just go to sleep. So I will see you next week. But for now, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind at least slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.